Horror Writers Podcast, episode number 23. Welcome to the Horror Writers Podcast, the show with two horror authors discussing all things in the world of horror. I'm your host, Zach Bohannon, and with me as always is Jay Thorne. How you doing, Jay?
What's up, Zach?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How you doing?
Doing okay. This is exciting stuff. What are we talking about today?
So today, we're going to talk about probably my favorite horror author. I mean, I like a lot of different authors, but I know we both love this guy. But we're going to be talking about our top three Stephen King books. Who doesn't love Stephen King who's watching the show? I mean, come on.
Nobody. And if you don't like Stephen King and you're watching the show, it's the wrong show for you.
Exactly. I totally agree. You just need to go ahead and just hit the little X in the corner now or whatever you're listening on.
Just, yeah, we won't be offended. Just go somewhere else.
Exactly. So, so we're talking about our top three favorite Stephen King books. We will do our best to do this without giving spoilers away, even for his books that are 30 years old. Because I know I haven't. There's still ones I haven't read that are old. Dude's got a lot of books. So
yeah, I had a little head start on you in reading his stuff. So it's okay if you're a little bit behind on the Stephen King back catalog.
Yeah, I think I was still reading The Boxcar Children when you were reading Pet Sematary for the first time. So. Little rare Boxcar Children reference for you.
Well, so, yeah, and you know what? I am about 3.5 years older than you, so it's okay.
Just, yeah, 3.5, that's about right. So, that's okay. I'm going bald, so and you got a lot more hair than me, so it's okay.
I got some gray coming in here. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go Gandalf.
I got that too in my beard. Of course, it's in my beard, and that's supposed to be sexy or something, so I don't know. But, whatever. So we're just going to kind of jab back and forth and talk about our top three Stephen King books. I got to cheat a little bit because you did this on another show on Dark Arts Theater where you actually named your top three. I don't know if they're gonna be the same, but I think I have a general idea where you're headed. So at least a little bit.
So how do you want to start this? Do you want to build up to what we think is the best Stephen King novel and start?
Well, So we'll start at three and work down to one, but maybe just take a quick second and, what is it about Stephen King that you love?
Well, I think my experience with him might be a little bit different just because I'm about 3.5 years older than you, but when he was starting to really come into his prime, he was, and a lot of people forget this or don't know it, he was really snobbed by New York publishing and mainstream media. And, and he was, he was not considered a real writer, and he was, he was called a Big Mac and fries. I think that's one of the, famous quotes that fly around Stephen King back in the 70s and 80s. And yet, I think he's one of the most prolific and one of the best writers that's ever lived. And so for me, I think what's really special about Stephen King is his ability to frighten with very mundane situations and environments. He takes what seems to be a pretty casual situation and turns it into something that is just extremely frightening. And he's done it over and over and over again. And he's created memorable characters, and really he's sort of become his own genre. I mean, yes, he's a horror writer, but he's sort of Stephen King. And
exactly.
He's not the best writer from a stylistic or a mechanical standpoint. He's really damn good, but he's not poetic, but yeah. I don't care about that. Like I want to read a great story, and one of the books I'll talk about is not his best writing from a mechanical standpoint, but I think it's one of the best stories he's ever told. So that's why Stephen King for me. How about for you?
I mean, you nailed a lot of this stuff. I think for me, he just comes up with such unique premises And, you know, I know he's talked about that, you know, where he just is like, oh, I wonder if this happened, you know, like with Salem's Lot, you know, I wonder if vampires invaded a small town, and then he just runs with it. But I think for me, his characters are just so good, and so memorable. And, you know, I think they're a detriment to him in a way, because it's a lot of the reason why his books don't translate very well to movies. You know, because his characters are so in depth, and it's really hard in a 2-hour movie to really, you know, for that to come across. You know, so yeah, for me, it's really the characters. His characters are so memorable. I mean, there's so many books I read where I just read it, you know, I get the joy and experience out of it, but I'm not really thinking about it a lot. Like later, most of his books I'm thinking about later on.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes back to the characters and the, you know, the way he will build people up and then turn them or whatever, you know, whatever it is he does in each book, you know. But yeah, it's, for me, it's a lot of his characters and just his premise and his stories are just, I agree with you where he's not the best writer, but the dude is a hell of a storyteller.
Yes. And that trumps good writing any day of the week in my
book. I'll take that any day of the week. I'm with you 100% on that. So let's get started, man. So I'm gonna let you go first and let you. So what's your number three?
Yeah, these are kind of fluid for me too. And I know I did the Dark Arts Theater top three on Stephen King novels, and I may even change my mind a little bit now, because as I read his stuff and as I think about it, I kind of change my mind. So I'm just saying, internets, I reserve the right to change my mind here. So if you're going to burn me in the comments, just keep that in mind, a little disclaimer. I think for me, the third one is The Stand. And I'm changing a little bit on this one. And the only reason I'm saying The Stand is because, well, first of all, I think it's an incredible saga. It's become the blueprint for post-apocalyptic dystopian contemporary fiction. Anyone who writes a story like that now has to have a nod to that story.
Yeah.
It's timeless. You know, you're taking the good versus evil. That's a timeless theme. People can relate to that. There's also something really attractive and sexy and alluring to an empty world. And I think we know that, you know, we're horror writers. We live in this space. And The Stand does that. The Stand takes you through this empty world in a way that's really rich and deep and resonant. And it's like you said, talking about Stephen King, it's also really hard to translate that level of depth of character to film. So I'm not necessarily talking about the, you know, the miniseries or whatever you want to call it that was produced. I'm talking just about the book. The reason it's three, though, I think is because of its length, and the same things that make it great are the same things that make it number three in my book, and that it's not something you read casually. You really have to make a commitment to it. And for that reason, that's why I have it at number three.
Good choice. Good choice. Yeah. And they, there is a movie coming out. I guess they're going to do 4 movies for The Stand is what I heard. And, they already got Matthew McConaughey as Randall Flagg. So, keeping our fingers crossed that'll
be awesome.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So,
if he's anything like he was in True Detective, I'll take him as Randall Flagg.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Frailty, but that's one of my favorite movies of all time, and he's super creepy in that too. So, if you haven't seen Frailty, then you know, go unfuck that right now and go see that movie. Go watch that movie. So my number three, man, this goes back to the whole character thing and just how great he is at building characters and dialogue, and it's a Bachman book. So this was done under his pseudonym Richard Bachman, but I don't think that any book shows just how good the guy is at dialogue and character as The Long Walk. The Long Walk is such a, I don't understand how he wrote such a long book about the premise. If you've never read The Long Walk is about, it's exactly what it is. It's a long walk. Every single year, 100 teenage boys take a walk from, they start in Maine and they walk south as far as they can. It's got a post-apocalyptic feel to it. And If any of the kids stop, they get three warnings. And after those three warnings, they get shot. There's these soldiers that are following them and shoot them. And the whole book is literally these teenage kids walking, and he builds the character through the conversations these kids are having with each other. And it's so creepy. It's just such a good, example of how good King is at building characters. And that book had me thinking about it for a long time after I read it. So that would definitely be my number three for sure.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I can totally, that was sort of way off my radar. I'd totally forgotten about that book.
Nice. Yeah, well, the Bachman books kind of get left, you know, aside. You know, I mean, I love The Running Man too. As terrible as the movie was, the book was great. You know, I love that book, The Long Walk. So that's my number three. So what's your number two?
Well, we didn't plan this. My number two is also a Bachman book.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking about it, for me, it's Desperation.
Ah.
Okay. And
Desperation. That was a Bachman book? I thought that was a King book.
You know, is it the maybe? I don't know. I should double check it. I don't know if The Regulators is Bachman. Is Desperation King or Bachman?
I'm not sure. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Sorry I called you out on that.
No, it's all right. I'm probably wrong. I always do that.
I could be wrong. So anyways.
So Desperation is about this evil presence that takes over this really remote town in Nevada. I believe it's Nevada. And it sort of manifests in a sheriff. And it's a story about a family that's driving through this town. And if I go any more, it'll be a spoiler. But
yeah.
I think it also gets to that sense of King taking a sort of mundane, pretty average situation, a small town sheriff in a small town somewhere, and completely turns it into just hell and chaos. And it's also, you know, it's also one of those books, and King described his writing this way. I think in On Writing, he talked about it's sort of like a cruise ship, you know, it's, that's how he unfolds the tension. It's the slow build, and Desperation is the quintessential slow build, and you see it coming, you know it's coming, and you can't stop. So for me, that's why Desperation is number two.
And if you haven't read that book and you like audiobooks, I highly recommend the audiobook of that. I'm not a big fan of when A-list actors narrate books, but Kathy Bates narrates that book and does an amazing job. I mean, it is awesome. The Desperation is that's an awesome one. So that's a really, and you're right, man. It's got that slow build in it. That's a great choice.
And you are correct. It is listed as a Stephen King novel, not a Richard Bachman novel. So
nailed you on that. So
what's your number two?
So I cheated a little bit for my number two, and I actually picked two books, and so my number two is The Shining and Dr. Sleep.
Ah, all right.
These, you know, they're, what's funny is they're very different books. I mean, The Shining is just again, it's a slow build. I mean, and a great example of a book that did not translate. I'm not going to say it didn't translate well to a movie because The Shining is such an awesome movie. It's just, you have to treat them as different entities.
Agreed.
Because in the book, you know, there's so much buildup of Jack Torrance and his character and everything. And you can see it coming from a mile away. And then when it happens, it's just all hell breaks loose. And of course, you know, the book has the supernatural elements and stuff that the movie doesn't have, which I really like. You know, that book stuck with me for a long time. And then the sequel, Dr. Sleep, you know, is a completely different book. I don't know if you've read Dr. Sleep or not.
No, I have not gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, so it's got, you know, I guess this is a little bit of a spoiler if you haven't read The Shining, but it's about Danny Torrance when he's older. And it's kind of got like a vibe where he's traveling across the country and stuff. And so it's kind of got a, you know, Americana vibe to it a little bit. And the villain, there's a villain in it. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but the villain, the antagonist in the book is amazing. It's probably one of my favorite antagonists he's had in any book. But seeing the struggles of Danny Torrance when he's older, you know, after everything he experienced when he was a child and still trying to deal with his gift and everything, it was a very rewarding experience and was an awesome kind of way to tie off, you know, the whole story of The Shining. So, that was my number two. Like I said, I kind of cheated. So, but both those books are so amazing. So what is your, we're down to number one. So, yeah. And I think I know where you're going, but I don't really know. So I have a couple of guesses, but
yeah, this is not going to surprise you. It's Pet Sematary.
Okay.
And I, you know, I have to go here, because I'm on record saying this so many times, and I'm not going to repeat what I said in the Pet Sematary episode from last year, but basically, where I am in my life and what I like to read and what I like about horror, Pet Sematary is all of that. And even though I've made fun of some of the turns of phrase and some of the mechanics of that book, you kind of know, even from the title, you almost know what the book is about and what's going to happen. And that's that alone is brilliant. I mean, to take a title and basically tell you the story, tell you the situation, and have you know, you just know the whole book, you know what's going to happen. And I won't get into specifics on that, but for me, that's master storytelling. And out of all his books, even though I love them all, I think for that one, especially because it was the first one of his I read that had such an impact on me, that Pet Sematary has to be my number one.
Yeah, Pet Sematary is awesome and a great example of great character building. The writing is obviously very clunky, but it doesn't matter. The story's so good. It's, you know, there's a particular scene in that book that I won't mention here that really, I mean, I was just like, wow. I mean, it really like scared the hell out of me. I think you guys even mentioned it in that episode that it was the same thing with you guys. But yeah, Pet Sematary is such a great book. And it, honestly, I knew you were going to do it. It would probably be in my top three, but I didn't want to have any overlap. but I mean, it would be hard to put it. I love all three books I chose. So
what's your number one?
So my number one, I know you're just going to laugh at me, and you're not even. This is like totally from left field. And you're going to be like, what the hell? But I have a good explanation as to why. So my number one Stephen King book is 11/22/63.
Whoa.
Yeah. And here's,
I am surprised. Lay it on me.
And here's why. There's two things about Stephen King books that kind of drive me nuts. Sometimes his books can start way too slow, and then a lot of them have really shitty endings. this book, to me, did everything right. It starts off very fast. You get, you basically get to the point of the story really quick. Like, you kind of start to get a sense of what's going to happen. He doesn't spend a whole bunch of time, you know, letting you get to know like a whole town and all this stuff. It basically gets right to the point. It stays very fast paced. I read this book very quick. I know a lot of people disagree with me about that. I think you guys actually talked about this on one of your episodes where you talked about how there's like, I think it might have been Richard where he said he was reading this book and there was like 10 pages of him describing stuff in the garage. And there is a little bit of that, but for me, I was able to kind of just plow through that because the story was so engaging. Mm-hmm. And the ending, I mean, I cried. Like, when I got to the, I mean, I'm not, you know, such a man where I would admit, like, I cried at the end of that book. And it, I mean, and the ending was somewhat predictable, but it was the right ending, you know? Yeah. And that book has stuck with me. You know, it's not a horror book. It's, you mentioned before we started, you know, that Stephen King is kind of his own genre. This is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
Cause this is more of a fast, like more of like kind of a historical fiction slash thriller. But that book stuck with me really more than almost any book I've ever read. For me, that's my number one. I know it probably surprised a hell of a lot of people, and I can't wait to see the comments. So,
well, I don't know if it's not my number one, but I've read it and it's one of my favorite King books. So I will back you up on that.
Yeah, it's great, man. And I know we both love The Dark Tower, and I think that, just to get this out of the way real quick, the reason neither of us, at least speaking for me, I think you agree, is that The Dark Tower is kind of its own thing, and it would be almost impossible to pick one of those books.
Yes.
In a future episode, we're actually going to talk just about The Dark Tower. So that is the top three Stephen King books for me and Jay. Feel free to comment and yell at us and, list your top three. We'll check out those comments and see what you guys think. So you got anything else to add, Jay?
No, that was pretty good, man. That was pretty, that was a lot of fun. And hopefully people out there have read those. And if they haven't, now they have something added to their TBR list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that'll do it for this episode of the Horror Hours Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, leave comments, like us on Facebook, all that good stuff. We will see you in another week. So, all right. Later. Thanks, Jay. Thanks for listening to the Horror Writers Podcast. If you have any thoughts or questions about today's show, please feel free to leave us a comment. Subscribe on iTunes and on YouTube. If you like us, please leave us a review on iTunes. The Horror Writers Podcast can be found on the web at thehorrorwriterspodcast.com. All graphics provided by Johnny Diggs at diggscreative.com. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode.